How you all doing? That's good. So my name's Damien. Just so that I know all of you, I wonder if you could just shout your name out after three. One, two, three.
Oh!
Good. Well, great to meet you. And it's lovely to be here and lovely to be together in the Lord's presence. In his presence, there is fullness of
joy.
Let me see that joy manifest. Come on. Do you know, Jesus is good news. The gospel is all about good news. We are good news people, and good news puts a smile on your face, doesn't it? Yeah. All right, well, we're going to finish our series in Ephesians today. And as we come into land, as with all of Paul's letters, there are salutations. That means there are greetings and people that he references at the end of his letters. And usually when we're reading these letters, we might just skim over those parts. But I want to zoom in on those parts today because I think it really reveals something of the nature of the New Testament church. So if you've got a Bible, I wonder if you could turn to the same passage I'm going to read in a second, which is Ephesians 6. It should be up here on the screen as well. By the way, Isaac, can you stand up a minute? And can you turn around so everyone can see your lovely face? Isaac's been doing the words for us this morning. Isn't that awesome? And I was just listening to him when the worship team were practicing earlier, just worshipping his heart out. This little boy loves Jesus. And you inspire me. Thank you very much. All right. Ephesians 6 from verse 21. Say after me, Tychicus. Tychicus, the dear brother and faithful servant in the Lord, will tell you everything so that you also may know how I am and what I am doing. Sorry, I think that's the ESV and I'm reading from the NIV, so I might just read from up here. So that you also may know how I am and what I am doing, Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will tell you everything. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are, and that he may encourage your hearts. Peace be to the brothers, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And grace be with all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with love incorruptible. Let me just pray. Father, thank you for your word. We know that your word is true, and we know it's living and it's active. And Father, it's sharper than any double-edged sword, Father, even to dividing soul and spirit, exposing the motives of our hearts, Lord God. And today, Father, we recognize that your word has authority over our lives, and we bring ourselves under the authority of your word, and we pray, Lord God, change us, Father, more into the likeness of Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Okay, so I want to tell you a little bit about this guy, Tychicus. First of all, as we come into the end of Ephesians, I will spend a moment at the end kind of summing up the journey that we've been on. But just so that we don't miss the moment, because we haven't got a huge amount of time this morning, I wanted us to jump straight into the text. We've got something fun to do at the end, which will remind us of some of the promises that we've learned along the way. But just to let you know, Ephesus, which was the place where the church that Paul was writing to was... Can we put this the slide of was a, an ancient a center of commerce and of culture, of religion, and people would travel to Ephesus from all over the place. Some would travel to worship the goddess Diana, whose temple was in Ephesus. Others would travel because of trade, because this was a place where people bought and sold goods. People would also travel here for culture, because they had a huge theater, and people would travel from around the world to perform in this place. Ephesus was one of the three largest centers of culture, commerce, and religion in the known world at that time. And some of the ruins that people visit still today, this is the library in the middle of Ephesus, and it's a very grand facade, and people would have, in those days, gone to read and to learn, and that wouldn't have been common in every town and city where you'd have visited. So Ephesus was a real melting pot of all of these different things. And in Acts 19, if you've got a Bible, turn there with me. There's a few really interesting glimpses into this church. So the Apostle Paul, on one of his missionary trips, ends up in Ephesus. And lots of interesting things happen. So Paul, as was normal, he would go into a place, he would preach the gospel, signs and wonders and miracles would often accompany that. People would become convinced of the truth, would be born again, would be gathered into communities of believers, and then various things would happen, and you know, it's the same with churches today. Some people would be struggling, some people would be persecuted, and so the Apostle Paul would nurture these young Christians as baby disciples through to maturity. Often he would spend time with them, maybe a period of years with them, just to lay foundations and get things established. But then he would often move on, and often when he had moved on, he would write to some of the churches that he had left behind. Paul, as he wrote this letter to the Ephesian church, was in prison. He had been arrested for preaching the gospel, and he was awaiting trial. He was a man who was full of faith, and so even as he was in prison, he would take every opportunity to witness to the guards and to represent Jesus wherever he was. But as he wrote to the Ephesian church, there were things that he wanted them to know, because they faced persecution on a huge scale. Imagine yourself in this city at that time, and you are an on-fire Christian. You love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And when you decide to give Jesus all of your life, some things have to change. And so these people were burning their scrolls in the street. That's what Acts 19 says. Some of the scrolls that were to do with the occult life that they used to lead, and some of these scrolls were really expensive. They would make bonfires in the street, and they would burn them to make a public stand that I now belong to Jesus, and I'm turning away from some of these other things. And also they would have worshipped idols, and in that city was the temple of Diana or Artemis, and people would come and worship, and there was a whole trade around the worship of Diana. So silversmiths would make these little statues, and people would bow down and worship them. And so when Paul came and people's hearts were being turned to the Lord Jesus, they were ditching their statues and ditching their false gods. And suddenly the trade was declining, and the silversmiths got up in arms, and they got all of the people in the city together, and they said, "Great is the goddess Diana. Great is the goddess Artemis of Ephesus." And they were causing people to be stirred up against the Christians, because the trade in these silver statues and the worship of the goddess Diana was declining in that place. And one of the stories, which is about a riot that happened in Ephesus, is exactly around that. And one of the guys called Demetrius, who was a silversmith, he made silver shrines to Artemis, and it brought in a lot of business for the craftsmen there. He said he called together, along with, this is in verse 25 of Acts 19, he called them together, along with the workers in related trades, and he says, "You know, my friends, that we receive a good income from this business, and you see and hear how," listen to this, "you see and hear how this fellow Paul has convinced and led astray large numbers of people in Ephesus and in practically the whole province of Asia. He says that gods made by human hands are no gods at all." And so that's a negative thing spoken from the man whose business was being affected. But what he says about Paul is that large numbers of people were being led astray. In other words, large numbers of people in the city had become Christians. Hallelujah. And back in the beginning of, in verse 10 of chapter 19, it says, when Paul was there, he was there for 2 years, so that all the Jews and Greeks who lived in the province of Asia, which is current present day Turkey, heard the word of the Lord. What an awesome aspiration for us in Corby. That all of the people, Jews, Gentiles, everybody heard the word of the Lord. Wouldn't it be awesome if every single person in our town had heard the word of the Lord because of the witness of Christians in that town? A little bit further on, in verse 18, it says, "Many of those who believe now came and openly confessed what they had done. A number who had practiced sorcery brought their scrolls, they burned them publicly." And in verse 20, "In this way, the word of the Lord spread widely and grew in power." And so by Paul being in Ephesus and preaching the gospel, large numbers of people who had traveled to that town becoming Christians and then going back to where they came from, the whole of the region of Asia Minor. Can we look at the map up here? That area there, Asia. Today we know Asia as being a much bigger area, but Asia and Asia Minor, which is the tip of what we would know as Turkey today, the whole of that region heard the word of the Lord because of Paul and his ministry in Ephesus. Can we go on to the next slide? This is a close-up of that area. And if you notice some things about this area, Asia or Asia Minor, all of the seven churches in Revelations that are mentioned, where Jesus writes letters to the churches, they are all in this area. At the bottom there, we see Colossae, one of the letters that Paul wrote to the church, the letter that we now know as Colossians, was written to that church there. We see Ephesus, Smyrna, and Patmos is that little island down there where the Apostle John wrote the Revelation when he had that incredible encounter with the risen Lord Jesus. So that's a little bit of background to the letter that Paul writes. There was an incredible open door of effective ministry, and Paul, as he preached the gospel, saw incredible things happen because the power of God was being released through his ministry, and many, many people came to faith, but accompanying that faith was a great persecution that broke out. And so as he wrote this letter to the Ephesian Christians, he wants them to know who they are. He wants them to know who God is, who they are in Christ, everything they have in Christ. And so some of the things that we have learned over the weeks is that we are seated with him in heavenly places, and every spiritual blessing is ours in Christ, that he has chosen us, that we are to live lives to the praise of his glory, that he has lavished his grace on us, and that he has chosen us before the foundation of the world to be conformed to Christ's image. It says that we were included in Christ, that we were marked in Christ with the promised Holy Spirit, that we have been saved because of his blood. It's a gift of God. It's by grace, not by works, but that we are Christ's workmanship, created in Christ to do good works, which he prepared in advance for us to do. And so the first three chapters really remind us who we are in Christ. And Paul was emphasizing those things to the Ephesian Christians. But then from chapter 3 onwards, it gets practical. And he wants us to know how we live this out, how we live as holy people, and how we live as Christians today in relationship to one another. And so he talks about how in Christ, the dividing wall of hostility between Jew and Gentile has come crashing down, and now we are one man in Christ, and the gospel, the mystery of the gospel, hidden for ages and generations past, now revealed in Christ, is that we were one, that we are now one because of what Jesus has done on the cross. And then it talks about his love, it talks about unity, it talks about submission. Last week we talked about the armor of God, and how in this current difficult time, and in the current difficult time that they were facing, we stand against some of the things coming against us with the armor of God, and the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, the shield of faith, the feet shod with the readiness of the gospel of peace. And that we're to pray in all times with all kinds of prayers and requests, and with this in mind, to pray for Paul himself, that the mystery of the gospel will be made known through him. And then, this is the very end of the letter. Paul says, Tychicus, the dear brother and faithful servant in the Lord, will tell you everything about me. And what that tells me is that the Apostle Paul was in relationship with these Christians. And these Christians would have been worrying about Paul because he was in prison. They wouldn't have known what was going on in his life. They hadn't had an update about what was going on. And so Paul decided to send this guy, Tychicus. And there are some interesting things that Paul says about Tychicus. And again, up here on the screen. So in Ephesians 6, verses 21 to 22, it says that he is a dear brother and a faithful servant in the Lord. What you should know is that the letter to the Ephesians was delivered along with the letter to the Colossians, and what we now know as Philemon, which was a letter to a local slave owner. All three of those letters were delivered at the same time, and all of them were delivered by this guy, Tychicus. Tychicus had a traveling companion. Can we go a little bit further on? A couple of slides beyond that. Tychicus was the messenger, he was the encourager, but the guy who had kicked it all off, the guy who had probably heard the gospel from the Apostle Paul in Ephesus and then gone back to his hometown in Colossae and preached the gospel to all of those people, including Onesimus and the slave owner who was hopefully going to release him, was a guy called Epaphras. And he was the evangelist in the area. But then there was another guy who had come under the preaching of the gospel and had given his life to the Lord, a runaway slave called Onesimus. Now, when Paul sent Tychicus to go and deliver this letter to the Ephesians, Onesimus was his traveling companion. And Onesimus, if you read in the book of Philemon, was a slave who had run away. He had come out under slavery and he had run away, but he had met the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul had preached the gospel. Onesimus had given his life to the Lord Jesus, and Paul had counseled him to go back to his slave owner and to offer himself freely to him again. Now, the Apostle Paul wanted the slave owner to release him, but he didn't oblige him to release him, but he did remind him that his very soul, his very existence in the kingdom of God was because the Apostle Paul had preached the gospel in the first place. And so we don't know the outcome of that story, but Onesimus traveled with Tychicus from the Apostle Paul to these local churches to deliver the letters. Going back a few slides, thank you, Isaac, because I know this is a bit complicated. We see him described in Colossians, which is the other letter that he was delivered. Tychicus will tell you all about my activities. He is a beloved brother, a faithful minister, and a fellow servant in the Lord. I'm going to pause there. Listen, some people who were part of the New Testament church at that time were never mentioned. Some people were very prominent in New Testament times, so the Apostle Paul and the Apostle John and Peter and various people like that. But other people like Tychicus had a footnote in the history of the church. And he is described as a beloved brother. How would you like to be described? If somebody who had never met you were to receive a letter from me, and I would have mentioned you in this letter, and because they had never met you, I described you in a few words, what would those few words be about your life? How would you want to be described if you were being described? For some people here, I know that you'd want to be described as someone who is in love with Jesus. For others of you, you'd want to be described as faithful in the things of God. For others of you, you'd like to be described as those who love the word of God, or those who love the voice of God, or the presence of God, and those who are faithful to share the gospel to those who didn't know Jesus yet. How would you want to be described in the footnotes of church history? And it's interesting that although Tychicus wasn't a main player, he was literally a postman with this letter. He had blessed the Apostle Paul. He had become a dear brother to the Apostle Paul. There was relationship between him and the Apostle Paul. And in the church, you know, we have all sorts of ministries, don't we? We have prophets and evangelists. We have teachers and pastors. We have apostles. There are all sorts of people who have ministries. And often we aspire to have ministries, and we love the recognition that comes with serving God in a prominent way. But where are the faithful brothers, the faithful sisters, the beloved brothers and sisters, the family, the relationship, the connectedness, where we love one another deeply from the heart? Because Paul also reminds us in 1 Corinthians 13 that, you know, we can prophesy and we can do all sorts of amazing things. We can give all of our possessions to the poor. We can beat ourselves into submission. But if we don't have love, we're nothing. And so Tychicus is described as a beloved brother. Before anything else, somebody who loved well. And wouldn't it be wonderful if as a church, we all were known as people who loved each other well. Look to the person next to you and say, I pray that the Lord will put his love in your heart. And then look at the other person who's just said that to you, the same person, and say, let us love well. So he was known as a beloved brother, but he was also known as a faithful servant. What does faithfulness look like? It's when we could do our own thing, and we could give way to the desires of our flesh, and we could do whatever came as a natural impulse to us. You know, we could get bored and decide that we want to ditch doing this in favor of this. But someone who is faithful, somebody who is faithful understands that they have been called by God, that his grace is in their lives, that they have been set free from a life of hopelessness and despair, a life that deserves judgment, a life that deserves hell, and have been brought into the kingdom of God for such a time as this, and that they have been given talents in their hands They have been entrusted with a portion of the kingdom of God. They have been graced by God, by the Holy Spirit, to discharge a function in the body of Christ. They have been entrusted, some with much and some with little, but all of us have been required to be faithful with what God has put in our hands. And so the question I want to ask you this morning, are you like Tychicus? Could you be described as a faithful servant? Somebody who is discharging the call of God on their lives with distinction. Are you faithful in the things of God? Are you faithful to steward the gifts that God has put in your hands that are for the benefit of others? Do not neglect meeting together, the writer to the Hebrews said. And sometimes as Christians, you know, we've got no kids' work over August. I understand why some families with children prefer to go to maybe places where there is children's work. If you're here with children today, I honor you. And I prayed before the service with the guys in the prayer meeting that during the month of August, things wouldn't drop off. It wouldn't be like, you know, people weren't coming together on a Sunday because there wasn't children's work, but that there would be a mighty move of God as we gather together. Because we can be expectant with children in the room, without children in the room, because children are just as important to Jesus as the adults. Do you believe that? And they can experience his presence just as much as me and you. And so I would implore you, come. During the month of August, we don't have children's work, but we still have the presence of God. We still have the word of God, and we still have the Holy Spirit in us so we can minister to one another. Bring your children. Let's meet together. Let's not neglect to meet together. Are you faithful in ministry? Are you faithful to speak the word of God into other people's lives? Is church all about you? And if it's not all about you, then who is it about? It's about the Lord Jesus Christ, and we gather not because we get something out of it, although hopefully we will. We come to minister first and foremost to God and then to one another so that we may all be built up into maturity in the things of God and all more closely resemble the Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful servant, a beloved brother and a faithful servant. How do you want to be known? If I were to ask somebody to describe you and to describe your life and to describe your ministry, take a moment. How do you think they would describe you to me? Now, the same question from a different angle. How would you like them to describe your life, your ministry to me? And is there a gap between those two answers? Because with God's grace, all of us can progress in the things of God. All of us can be devoted to one another in brotherly love. All of us can become faithful as servants of Almighty God. So Tychicus. And now look at what Paul says about his role. As he comes to you, he's not a great orator like Apollos. He doesn't write letters of the Bible like Brother John and Brother Peter and me. The apostle, not me, Paul. He's a postman. He's someone who's been really, really faithful to me as a friend, as a brother, and as a fellow servant in the Lord. And he's coming to give you news about my situation. That's what Paul's saying. But beyond that, he has come that he may encourage your hearts. And if we go back to the previous slide there, Isaac, is that okay? This is our passage in... passage in Ephesians. Exactly the same thing. I've sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage your hearts. The word encouragement comes from the Greek root word paraklesis. Paraklesis. It's the same root word as the word parakletos, which is the word to describe the ministry of the Holy Spirit, the comforter, the one who comes alongside. And so I want you to put your hand up if, as a Christian, in the last couple of weeks, somebody has encouraged you. Shout out, how were you encouraged? What did somebody do to encourage you? So even just turning up blessed you, encouraged you. Yeah, great, thanks. So hospitality and sharing, yeah, sharing your lives and sharing your... your house in that sense. Yeah. Sending words of encouragement. So it might be texts or phone calls or an email, just sending, like, knowing that people are on your mind and just encouraging them like that. Yeah. Sorry, I couldn't hear that. So even at work, you've been encouraged. Yeah, wonderful. You got given a voucher? And you want to share that with everyone. That's wonderful. Yeah, that's encouraging. Okay. Anyone else been encouraged this week? Yeah. So somebody spoke into your life and told you to remind yourself who you were in Jesus and that you could do things that you didn't think you could do. Great. That's awesome. Anybody else? So just people being there for you. An encouragement like that, yeah. Yeah. So meeting with people like iron sharpens iron, people who share your passion, that's awesome. Wow, did you hear that? So visited a 94-year-old lady this week who couldn't get out of the house but was still witnessing to her carers. That's awesome. We can encourage one another in lots of different kinds of ways. But if you think about the word encourage, to give courage, to build people up in their faith, the gift, there are people who are gifted to encourage. There are encouragers. I don't want to embarrass you, Bill, but I often say you have the gift of encouragement because every time I spend time with you, I just feel bigger in the Lord. And there are people who are put in the body of Christ who have that gift, but all of us can be encouragers. What comes out of your mouth? Does it build up? What does it bring down? Think about it, because you might not even know. The Bible says out of the same spring can't come fresh water and salt water. You can't get figs and grapes from the same tree. So we might praise God with our tongue and appear to be holy and righteous with the things that we say in public, but behind closed doors we're criticizing and bringing people down and gossiping and ranting at that guy who's just cut you up on the road. There are all sorts of things that we think about ourselves which aren't borne out by our day-to-day walk with God. Are you an encourager? Think about how you can speak a word or perform an action which will encourage somebody this week. The gift of encouragement is one of the most beautiful gifts in the body of Christ. The purpose of it isn't flattery. You know, you can flatter someone and they might not believe you. You can criticize someone and they might hate you. But if you encourage someone, they'll always remember you because you've built them up in the things of God. It might be something as simple as recognizing the grace of God in somebody's life and just saying, Alan, every time I spend time with you, you've always got an insight that God shared with you in prayer. And I really appreciate that about you. Thank you, Bernie, because you are such a faithful man. No one sees what you do behind the scenes, but you just serve. And this morning you were here with Carol setting up the refreshments team and walking in and out of here. I saw you walk in and out 5 or 6 times to fetch things from the store cupboard to set things up for when people arrive. Thank you, because people don't see that about you. Lyndon, thank you that you love the Lord and you just want to exhort the body of Christ to faithfulness and you want to preach the gospel. You want people to get saved. And because you're here, people are being encouraged to step out in faith. Thank you, Maggie, for putting up with your husband. That must be so difficult. Thank you, Elaine Roberts, for being apostolic and breaking new ground for the kingdom of God, being fearless in the preaching of the gospel and for raising up the saints. Thank you, John, for being an amazing chef and gladly cooking and catering and encouraging us through that gift. Thank you, Paul Tindall, for being a great quiz master. Recognizing the grace. Thank you, Anthony Dyack, just who hears the word of the Lord and gently, graciously, humbly shares that into people's lives. Thank you, Anne Worry, for being a prayer warrior. You don't crave the limelight. You don't stand in front of people and say, look at me. You get down on your knees in the private secret place and you cry out to God on behalf of your brothers and sisters. No one else gets to see that, but thank you for who you are. Thank you, Rose, for being a mother in the faith. Thank you for drawing alongside people and drawing them up to their God-given destiny. Thank you for being a woman of integrity and righteousness and setting an example. George, Thank you for who you are, because you are an intelligent lad and you care about people deeply. Thank you, Tim, for playing football with all of those lads and for 5 minutes at the beginning of every match preaching the gospel. Thank you, Slavka, for being hungry to grow in the things of the Lord. And thank God for your gift of dancing. May that be released. Paul, thank you for being generous and overflowing with generosity. Thank you for you don't want people to know this, but you bought a guitar for Brendan to invest in his ministry. Thank you for your faithfulness. Recognizing the grace of God in people's lives and drawing it out with your words, the gift of encouragement, making people feel bigger in the things of God. Right, we haven't got much time. I'm going to ditch the second part of my message because I've got something that I'd like us to do. Aaron and Sam, can you come down and help me distribute some of these things? Okay, we are going to finish with a party. On these balloons are scriptures and promises, words from the book of Ephesians. And we're going to just pass them around for a little while. Gary, will you come up if you're able to and just lead us in that song that we talked about? And in a moment, what we're going to do is we're going to pause. And if you have one of these balloons in your hands and you would like to, I want you to read out the promise or the scripture that's on it. So up the top as well, all the way around. And just pass them around for a little while, that's fine. Okay, we're going to sing for a few minutes, but don't keep the balloon that you've got now. Pass it around for a little while, and maybe another one will come to you. Some of the young people might like to join in with this one. Spent a lot of time last night writing scriptures on these balloons, so share them around. Paul's coming around with the microphone, and if you have a balloon in your hand, I wonder if you could just confidently read out what's on your balloon, just to encourage the saints.
Because I believe I have incomparably great power in Christ. Ephesians 1:19.
Amen. Who else has got one?
In Christ I may approach God. In Christ, I may approach God with freedom and confidence.
Amen.
God is giving me the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that I may know Him better. Ephesians 5:6.
I have hope in Christ.
In Christ, every dividing wall comes down. He himself is our peace.
Amen.
I am a member of God's household.
For grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1 verse 2.
My life is to the praise of his glory.
I am God's handwork created in Christ to do good works.
Amen.
I have been brought near in Christ. Ephesians 2:30.
I can be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God.
Amen.
The eyes of my heart are being intelligent so that I may know everything I have in Christ. Ephesians 1.
Christ is seated at God's right hand in the heavenly realms.
Careful.
I'm a dead.
I am chosen.
Amen.
I am believer of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Christ, we are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit.
Amen.
Christ is far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name he is above all.
I can know God's limitless love.
Amen.
God has freely given us his grace in Christ.
God is able to do immeasurably more than we can all ask or imagine.
Amen.
I am included in Christ.
Hang on a minute. Carol, you need to read this one.
God is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask. Amen. Or imagine.
True.
God is my Father, Ephesians 1:17.
Right. We are marked with a seal of the promised Holy Spirit, Ephesians 1:30.
Thank you, bro.
God has lavished his grace on me, Ephesians 1 verse 8.
Amen.
Now through the church, the manifold wisdom of God is being made known to the heavenly realms.
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 Yeah.
Ephesians 3:10.
My sins are forgiven.
Amen. Hallelujah.
I have a rich and glorious inheritance in Christ.
God has placed all things under Christ's feet and has appointed him head over everything for the church. Ephesians 1:22.
I am blessed in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Ephesians 1 verse 3.
God has been kind to me.
Amen.
I was chosen in Christ before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight.
Because of God's great love for me, God made me alive with Christ.
Amen. It's a long one.
Member of Christ's body, the church. We are the fullness of him who fills everything in every way.
Christ is risen.
Amen. What a great one to finish on. Come on, let's applaud the Lord. Let's applaud him. Father, we thank you. You are awesome. Thank you for your promises. Thank you for your word. Lord God, thank you that each one of them is true, Lord God. Father, it's all because of you. Father, thank you that you are risen from the dead. Father, and all of that goodness comes to us because of your finished work on the cross. Father, thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you for your presence. Thank you that we're seated with you in heavenly places. Father, thank you that the church is the manifold wisdom of God. Father, declare into the heavenly realms your perfect wisdom in this age. Father, thank you, Lord God, that everything is under your feet and everything is under our feet in Christ. Father, thank you that we have everything we need to stand against the devil and his schemes. Father, we want to be your people in this age, doing your work and bringing your kingdom. Let's celebrate the Lord together.